Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Employers, simplify your pension scheme with a Zurich Master Trust. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie.
Now, the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin, has told Northern Ireland Troubles victims today that he hasn't ruled out taking the UK government to court if the controversial Troubles Bill becomes law. That bill, as you know, would offer a conditional amnesty to Troubles perpetrators and would end all future civil actions and inquests beyond those already commenced. In a moment, we'll hear from one of the victims who was in that meeting this afternoon with the Taoiseach. Eugene Reeby's three brothers were killed by the UVF in 1976. But first, let's speak with Gráinne Teggart, who's Northern Ireland Deputy Director of Amnesty UK. Gráinne, you're very welcome to the programme. What was your message today to Micheál Martin in Belfast?
Well, we welcome the ongoing unequivocal opposition from the Irish government to the Troubles Bill. But we had a very clear call today, which was we think the time has come for the Irish government to put a public marker down, signalling to the UK government that if they proceed with pushing through the Troubles Bill, that they will take the UK government to court, to the European Court of Human Rights, in what's known as an interstate case. We have seen and heard from, obviously, victims right across the community in Northern Ireland, and indeed international concern expressed as well, flagging to the UK government that there are significant and very grave concerns with the unilateral action that they are taking in trying to push through this Troubles Bill. Regrettably, the UK government have not listened to the opposition, and so therefore, you know, we are looking to the Irish government because they have a critical role to play in this, to challenge the UK government.
What response did you get from the Taoiseach or the Taoiseach when you asked that the UK government would be taken to court if that were the case, if that bill were pushed through?
Yes, it was clear that all cards are on the table, and that includes the consideration of the interstate challenge. So that is something, obviously, that we welcome. I think for all of us, you know, what we would, of course, prefer is that the bill does not become law and therefore required to be challenged in the first place. And there is still an opportunity for the British Prime Minister to pause the legislative process, heed the overwhelming opposition and abandon the Troubles Bill. And I think, you know, on the eve of the Good Friday Agreement and as we approach the 25th anniversary here, you know, we have the UK government on one hand there loudly professing their commitment to the agreement at the same time that they're pushing through the Troubles Bill and others that directly violate it. So the message to the Taoiseach today was you have a critical role to play here, and now is the time to put that marker down to the UK government to show that there's a consequence to that action.
Gráinne, you were joined in that meeting today by family members of men and women unlawfully killed by the security forces and Republican and loyalist paramilitaries during the Troubles as well. Say with me, if I may, if you can, Gráinne, we'll try and improve the line as well. One of those people, family members, is Eugene Reeby. Good evening to you, Eugene. You're welcome to the programme.
Good evening. Thank you very much.
Now, older listeners, Eugene, may well remember the shocking attack by the UVF in 1976, which killed three of your brothers. Isn't that right?
That's right. January the 4th, 1976, it was just after Christmas, and the decorations and everything was all still up in the house. And these gunmen broke in at 6:05, and they shot my three brothers dead. John Martin, he was riddled with bullets. And Brian, he was trying to escape up into the room, and he was shot through the heart. Mm-hmm. And Anthony, 17, he dived under the bed, and they riddled him through the mattress, but fortunately he lived. So, but then unfortunately he died a month later from his injuries.
And poor Anthony was 17, isn't that right?
17, yeah. He was only a lad.
And Brian was 22. They were all
Brian
just lads,
was 22,
young men.
And
really.
John Martin was 24. Our boys was in no paramilitary groups. There was no such thing about our house as paramilitaries. Not even the thought of it.
Mm-hmm. And you were 28 at the time, Eugene. In a way, it's strange that they were in that house at all. You should have been at your mother's house, I believe. Is that right, that night?
Well, you see, that's where the shooting did happen. And we went to my mother's house every Sunday night in life. But on this Sunday, and it told us at Mass earlier on that day not to come over, that she was going to visit her sister. So there was only three there. Normally, like, there would have been up again 25 there.
Oh, I see, yeah. You all would have been there.
Yes, and after they shot Anthony down through the mattress, they went and shut off every other door in the house looking for the rest of us.
My God. And you were in your own house.
I was up in my own house, which is about a couple of miles up the road, you know.
Yeah.
And Father Malone, he was a friend of mine home from the missions in East Africa, Tanzania. And when he came into the house that night, I knew the minute I seen him that there was something wrong. Normally he was very jolly sort of a fella, but on this occasion I could see right through him, you know.
You knew by the look
so
on his
when
face.
When I was going over the road, halfway over, I said to him, tell me what happened. And so he, like, there's been a shooting, Eugene, he says, and I think there might be one fatality. So when I got over to the house, the police were standing outside and they wouldn't let me in, so I just bullied my way in past them. And John Martin, Lord of Mercy, he was lying on the floor. He was cut in two. And I had this policeman hooking in the china cabinet. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, what was he looking for? And he said that he believed that there was ammunition in our house. So I said to him, well, unless you're going to plant it, there is no ammunition in my house. And we had to throw him out, you know. Mm-hmm. But he was one of the people like that.
And I know, Eugene, by the way you're talking about it, and obviously, I suppose, you vividly remember every single detail.
Oh, I vividly remember every step of the way, Ed. I have rehearsed it every day of my life.
I'd say so.
My father on his deathbed asked me if we would try to get justice for the boys, and I never thought it was going to be such a burden.
And your poor...
I thought it was a simple thing of going to the police, asking them, you know, what happened, and trying to work with them, but there was nothing. You couldn't work with them, and they didn't want to see us. But
and both your mum and dad.
An 84-year embargo on our files.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
I was just going to say, both your mum and dad passed away without seeing any justice.
That's right.
So then, can I ask you, Eugene, given that burden on your shoulders ever since, nearly 50 years now, what do you make of the very controversial bill that's coming from Westminster that would give a conditional amnesty to anybody?
Well, I'm disgusted. So I am. And it's a tire like that after all these years that we've been doing the thing peacefully. We didn't go out and join any IRA or and start shooting at the British or the police. We went down the proper routes, and we've been let down time out of time out of time. But hopefully now that the tarnished chair, I do believe him. I have truth and I have faith in him.
You were there today. How did the meeting go?
Yes, I was there today, and I met Mr. Martin. You know, I know him from previous years. You know, mm-hmm. It's not the first time I've seen him. And the last time I met him, I was with Seamus Mallon.
Mm-hmm.
And poor Seamus is long gone, you know.
And tell me, what was your message to him today then in relation to any court action against the UK government around this bill?
Well, my message to him was, please use the threat of an interstate case or whatever you have to do. Don't let them push this bill through, because in the House, as you well know, they have the numbers. And they don't care who says what. Like, there'd be a few amendments to it, but I believe from the tonnage that they don't amount to anything of any significance. So we discussed this in great detail, and I don't think I would be at liberty
I understand
very much out of school.
But can I ask
you
this?
I was certainly reassured from from what I heard from the Taoiseach and his officials.
Okay. Can I ask you this finally, Eugene? And you've described so well the unspeakable horror that was visited upon your family. Poor John at 24 killed, Brian gunned down at 22, Anthony at 17.
Yeah.
And the burden that you and your family have carried and the trauma for nearly 50 years.
Yeah.
If you were to meet the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak today, what would you say to him?
Well, Rishi Sunak probably doesn't know very, very much about what happened during the trouble. He's only a young man, isn't he? Like he's not very old,
mm-hmm.
I don't think. And he was in England when this happened, and you know yourself, if you were talking to any English person, they wouldn't have a clue what you were talking about.
Yeah.
So, but Rishi Sunak, I think that you have a better chance of getting something from him than from our previous Prime Minister. You know, I think that he has something more in him, and I would be begging him for to drop this bill. The Americans will be putting serious pressure on them, and I hope that the Southern government and the Taoiseach will exercise as much pressure on them as they can. And I understand very well, like that British-Irish relationships have been strained for a while,
mm-hmm.
with the previous government, but hopefully they're on the right road now, and that Micheál Martin will be able to sit down with Rishi Sunak, the British Prime Minister,
well,
and have a sensible conversation
okay.
with him.
Well, we will see what happens. Can I thank you very much indeed, Eugene?
You're very welcome.
For joining us on the programme. And I really appreciate your time, especially after that meeting with the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, today. That's Eugene Reavy, whose brothers were killed by the Glenan gang in 1976 and beforehand, Gráinne Teggart, Amnesty UK's Northern Ireland Deputy Director.